Romans chapter 15. We'll read several verses at the beginning of the chapter, and then we'll skip down to further down a little bit for one verse. Romans 15, verses 1 through 9, 9a first. Romans 15, 1 through 9. We who are strong, that means mature, older in the faith, mature. There are mature Christians. There are growing Christians who are younger. There are new Christians, babies, who are on milk, not strong meat. We who are stronger, more mature, have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. So we don't get impatient with them. We don't get put out with them. We don't say behind their back, when is that knucklehead going to learn? I'm so tired of them. I wish they'd go to some other church. Let's pray for them. No. If we're a spiritual person, we bear with the failings of the weak. And not, what's the next phrase? Not to please ourselves. We're not to live to please ourselves. Well, that's a tall order. Let each of us please his neighbor. That didn't mean carnal pleasing. You're a man pleaser. It means you seek to live in such a way that you're living for others for their edification. You're not seeking just to live for yourself primarily. You're seeking to live for your neighbor, the brethren, first and foremost, for their good, to build them up. Here's a lifestyle of living not for yourself, but for others, to the glory of God. For Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance, your Bible may say patience, but it's the idea of endurance or perseverance. Through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome or receive or embrace one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Now skip down to verse 13. Here's another apostolic prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, or through your trusting the Lord, through your faith, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So, here we are in Romans. So, let's just kind of survey in our minds what Romans has said. You know, if there are two Mount Everests in the New Testament, Romans would certainly be one. Hebrews, in my mind, is another one. Ephesians is not far behind. But Romans is certainly one of the twin peaks of the two mighty mountains of the New Testament. Chapters 1 through 3, universal sin and wrath. At least through 3:19, every mouth is stopped and everyone's guilty before God. Chapter 3 and 4, the cross and justification by faith. begins. Chapters 4 and 5, the nature of justification, that it was not a new thing. Even Abraham was justified by faith. It's always been God's way. Justification and the fruits of justification. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6, freedom from sin's bondage because we're in Christ, because of the gospel. Chapter 7, the function of the law and the religious man's exposure of his defeat and bondage and sin through the working of the law. Now, it's interesting that that hymn we sang earlier, My Hiding Place, don't turn to it, but the second verse is actually a picture and a commentary on Romans 7. Listen to it. Because Paul starts out in Romans 7 talking about the function of the law. I was fine, Paul says, but when the commandment came, sin came alive, and I was slain. He saw himself as a covetous man for the first time. That hymn, stanza 2, indignant justice stood in view. To Sinai's fiery mount I flew. But justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. Ere long a heavenly voice I heard. Remember at the end of Romans 7? Thanks be to God. Ere long a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy for my soul appeared, which led me on with smiling face to Jesus Christ, my hiding place. That's Romans 7. He's not just struggling with sin. He's absolutely a captive and defeated. So however you read Romans 7, go ahead. But it teaches us the function of the law and the religious man's exposure to his bondage. Chapter 8, gospel newness and life in the Spirit. Chapter 9, God's free sovereignty and His free choice to do what He wants to do in history and in salvation. Chapters 10 and 11, Paul's desire for Israel's salvation and God's final redemptive purpose for elect Israel, the elect among the chosen people. Chapter 12, Christian graces and the ethical and moral fruit in sanctification. Read Romans 12. There's presenting ourselves to God as a reasonable act of our worship. Living this way. Loving one another. Don't pay back evil for evil. But the moral, ethical conduct that the believer has because of the gospel. And then chapter 13 deals with what? Submission to earthly authorities. Don't speed or you'll get a ticket. Right? We're to be subject to earthly authorities. They're here for our good. Chapter 14, what's it about? Christian liberty and love, because we have to deal with differences and secondary things and the liberty we have and matters of conscience. So that's through 14. Then you get to 15. And what's Paul going to do? He's just going to fill in stuff. He's just going to kind of mop up. He's not saying a lot that's important. Would that be right? No. Any of you know what the word inert means? I-N-E-R-T? You ever heard the phrase inert material? Inert means chemically inactive. Lacking ability, or Texas definition, it don't do anything. It does nothing but act as a filler. Now, back in the 70s and 80s, when I had an evening with this soap salesman trying to sell concentrated soap. And he showed me a box of detergent. This is Borax 20 Mule Team detergent. If this won't clean it, nothing's going to clean it. 20 Mule Team. All right, so that man gave me the box and he said, look at the ingredients. I looked and said, 30% this, 20% that. And then it said 70% inert material, which means 70% of the detergent did nothing but fill the box up. So when you ladies pay for $15 for a big box of detergent, it costs them probably 90 cents, the box and the stuff inside it. So behold, American ripoff. Romans 15 and 16 is not inert material. It's not just filler. Paul's not just looking for words to end the chapter somehow. What he says in 15 and 16 is rich and wonderful truth and fruit. He's not just filling up the end of the book. There are rich gems here, rich teaching and admonitions. So if we've ever thought that the meat in Romans ends at chapter 14, think again. We will miss marvelous food for our soul and for our life if we think that way. So, Romans 15, 1 through 9. The title of this message is, this morning, Not Pleasing Ourselves. That's what Paul starts out here with. And that's why I had to sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Because that hymn is really saying, Lord, I want to live for you. My life is to be about you, truly living for you and not living for myself. Not living primarily to please myself. Not living with a motivation to make my life all about my pleasure, my comfort, and what's earthly, just enjoying life. Paul here is prohibiting meism. That's a disease that Americans have. Meism. And you know, it's Christians can, after they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything's new, and they have a new kingdom, and a new loyalty, and a new Lord, and a new heart, and a new family, and they're in a new, different realm. We're still in this earthly realm in Vanity Fair, and it's very easy for us to be always being pulled with the magnet of the world to live for ourselves and to live for me rather than for the kingdom of God. So let's think through this passage, what Paul here says about not living to please ourselves. First is the first two verses, the moral directive. We're not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to building up. So that's the moral directive. We ought not to live to please ourselves, do we? We shouldn't. Now, Paul is always